Well, homie's glad.
All right. I want to thank Pastor Dameron for inviting me to preach college and high school chapel again. I always am thrilled to do it. And Brother Armacos for scheduling me. I have a healthy respect for the legacy of Fairhaven Baptist Church and college and for the staff and the students over the years. And I appreciate, again, the opportunity to be here. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And I want you to locate, if you would, please, verses 20 and 21. And it is an honor to be selected. It's probably not by chance, because God's in everything, for those that love the Lord, to follow Pastor Dameron as you resume your course of studies in the second semester. That's an honor to be able to do it, and I believe that God then has a specific purpose in having me here this morning. And I do trust that I'll be able to strengthen you and establish you in your personal quest for consecration unto the Lord's service. And so, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, and if you would please stand with me as I read these to you. You read to yourself, I'll read out loud, and then we'll have a word of prayer and get right into the message. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." And then verse 21 will really be the text that I'll be preaching from, but I'll do some connection with verses previous to that over the course of the message. But verse 21, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." I'll be preaching this morning on the doctrine of sanctification. And I trust that it will simplify your understanding of that doctrine. And it will give you a hunger and thirst after righteousness in a greater way, for the glory of God, and ultimately for your earthly ministry that you're preparing for. So let's pray. Father, we love you today. What a thrill it is to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our advocate, our best friend, our guide unto all truth. Father, our fellow companion in the service of God Almighty, we praise you for him. We praise you for Fairhaven Baptist Church and college and the students and the staff. Although none of us are perfect, we know, God, that your Holy Spirit indwells those that are saved, and you desire to conform us unto your image, and we've seen great mighty works done here at Fairhaven Baptist Church and college and around the world, and therefore we praise you for that. And now I would ask that you would give me preaching grace, power from on high, Father, that there'd be Holy Spirit preeminence in the pulpit and in the pews with the preacher and the people. I would be amiss if I didn't pray that you might save souls and for sure change lives and ultimately challenge all of us to move forward for you. And we'll be sure to give you the praise, for thou alone art worthy. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me give you just a little bit of a background to the text. You know, that's a preacher's training, so to speak, or the proper format to take, but you probably already know the background to this text. The Apostle Paul is exhorting a young preacher, Pastor Timothy, who he claimed as his own spiritual son in the faith. He's continued to disciple and mentor Timothy as Timothy has been called to the office of pastor here. And he's giving Timothy some instructions and some exhortations in regards to his own personal walk with God And in addition, as he is called to be an overseer, a ruler, a shepherd to these particular believers at this church, ultimately too, to help guide and direct those under him to become all that God wants them to be. So that's what Paul is doing here with young Timothy. Now, on the doctrine of sanctification, I want you to know something. I imagine you probably have had some Bible preaching or teaching from your own churches on sanctification. I imagine and am assured that more than likely here at Fairhaven, you've had some preaching and teaching on the doctrine of sanctification. I imagine that you've had some college assignments, and I've been in your library, I've been in your bookstore, and there's quality books in there. I'm currently in the prophet's chamber, and you'll find in the prophet's chamber over at the men's dorm books on sanctification. So I'm quite assured that you have some previous teaching and preaching and understanding of the doctrine of sanctification, that you may have somewhat of a grip on it already. And I'm glad for that. I am going to say this in the beginning. I'm not going to embellish. That is, hang additional ornaments on this doctrine. I'm going to keep it simple, which is my style. That's my style. I believe that there's a great peril going around in churches and even Christian circles, if I might use that term, and elsewhere, to embellish Bible doctrines to such a degree with additional truths and to principle the truth of Scripture right into oblivion, to the place where God's people aren't challenged, aren't convicted, aren't brought to a place where they hunger and thirst for the pure and simple meaning of Bible doctrine. I'm adverse to embellishment. I'm not against points in an outline and subpoints in an outline. But again, sometimes we overexhaust the doctrine to a degree that we bring people to a point of exhaustion and say, oh, can I move on? It's like we can't see the forest for the trees. So I'm going to keep it simple. Don't think that I don't believe you have some grasp on this doctrine already, because I believe that you do. Let me say this. Sanctification. And I've read the Bible through and through and through and through, and it's getting through and through and through and through into me. And it's a wonderful joy of my life to tap into the riches of the knowledge of Christ and the person of God by reading the Bible. And I want you to know, daily, not because someone has told me to do it or makes me do it, daily, I put it this way, I enter into, daily, early, I enter into the interview room with God. And I'm in the presence of God. And I know I'm coming under his circumspection. I'm coming under his questioning. But I am coming into his presence with anticipation to get something from God that I know I need and that he wants for me. All other things are shut out. And when you go into an interview room applying for a job and you're going before the one in authority that can give you what you're looking for, you are the subject, he is the master, and you respond under his inquiry to that which he desires from you in order to bless you. And so sanctification is when, after being saved, you and I set ourselves apart for God, and then He sets you apart for Himself. Our text will bear proof of that in a moment. And I'll illustrate that for you in our text in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. But let me say that again. And it's from reading the Bible that I've gained this understanding. It's from waiting on God in the interview room daily that I've gained this understanding of the doctrine of sanctification. That's where I've gained it. Not from the borrowed thoughts, and I'm not against that, of another man. Not from the expertise or the experience of someone's own personal experience, although I'm not against that either. I have no one that I could ever impress, not even God. You cannot impress God, you can only obey God. So, sanctification, again, is when after being saved, you set yourself apart for God. That's preliminary. And then He sets you apart for Himself. That's culminary, the culmination. Sanctification is not a byproduct of 4 years of achievement. Stay with me. Sanctification is not a result of earning a degree. Stay with me. Sanctification is not experienced with the accumulation of credentials. Stay with me. Sanctification is not realized with the gaining of ministry opportunity. I thought I'd spare you, but I'm going to say it again. Stay with me. I am not trying to discredit 4 years of achievement or earning a degree. I have two of them. So what? I'm not trying to discredit the accumulation of credentials. I'm not trying to discredit the gaining of a ministry opportunity. My burden after pastoring for 20 years, after being in revival evangelism so far for 11 years, after being in many churches, and that's nothing to brag about, and working in church rescue works. By the way, I believe the church in America today is a church rescue work. And I believe your preacher probably in his preaching and teaching recognizes here at Fairhaven, as we analyze and evaluate the church in America today, the professing church, really, God considers it a church rescue work, and it can be rescued, and it should be rescued. In glory to God, let's pray and seek that God rescues the ministry of our Lord in the local churches all around America for the cause of revival. Amen? My burden, a burden is a heaviness. It's a desire. It's a weight that I carry after working with many preachers and God's people, is that we would see people in the ministry of our Lord and our local churches who were willing to come to the place in their life to not only set themselves apart for God, but to allow God to set themselves apart for Himself. My burden is that we'll once again see a hunger and thirst in America, in our local churches, for sanctification. Amen? Now, concerning the doctrine of sanctification, let me give some, how would I put it, clarification. There is much misconception about it today. A lot of confusion about the doctrine of sanctification. And may I say misappropriation. We appropriate things that we can do or must do in our walk with God that would bear proof that we are sanctified. And that's misappropriation of the doctrine of sanctification. When there's misconception and confusion and misappropriation of what it really means to be sanctified in the eyes of God, then it leads to a lot of personal frustration in people's lives and even failure. And we want to get through that. We want to simplify sanctification. God desires to simplify. Hey, listen, I'm an avid reader. Why? Because I love to. Who? The old-time giants of the faith. Old Vance Hafner used to say this. The old-time giants of the faith, Spurgeon, Wesley, Edwards, Moody, Torrey, are gone but not forgotten. The trouble with us today, we're forgotten and not gone. I read those old-time giants. And when I say giants, just recognize men of God and women of God that God used. And I just finished reading this morning the book of Acts. I got chills running up and down my spine after finishing the book of Acts. Was it the first time preaching? No, it's probably the umpteenth time. But as I finished it, as I waited on God, as I was in the interview room with God on the book of Acts, and we can build many aspects of the local church ministry from the book of Acts that need to be taught, that need to be lifted up, and that need to be acquired by God's people as they serve the Lord in the local church. But the central theme that I find in the book of Acts is the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit that got people and women of God, men and women of God, excited about the work of God, engulfed in a flame of God's doing, and it turned the world upside down. Amen? So let's take a few minutes to look at the text as I kind of guide us through on the doctrine of sanctification. And this is not just the only text on it, but this is the one that God led me to preach on because it goes along with what you're preparing for and what you already may believe and what you may already have a misconception about and what you may already be confused about and what you may already be misappropriating what it is. So let's look at this text again, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's look at verses 20 and 21 again. Again, Paul instructing and exhorting Timothy, but in a great house and there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, he's telling this to Timothy. By the way, we could say he's arrived, Timothy. We could say as he traveled with Paul on missionary journeys and as Paul mentored him and discipled him, Timothy's now on his first ministry opportunity on his own, a pastor of a local church. We could say if we wanted to, but we really don't want to. We know better that he's arrived. But he's exhorting and instructing Timothy on what's going to make him useful for God. So now look at verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, I want you to notice that that's the first admonition that Paul gives Timothy. And there's a few more. So they're interconnected. One links to the other. If a man therefore purge himself from these, the vessels that are of dishonor. And I can show you in the text here, it's those that would question true Bible doctrine. Philetus, Hymenaeus, others that would be given a vain babbling in profane wives' tables and always struggling and striving about what does the Bible really say. That's your interpretation, but mine's a little bit different. And Paul's telling Timothy, purge yourself away from that type of attitude, that type of mentality, and get down to what God wants out of your life and just stick with it and just stay with it and get what God has for you, and then you're on the road to start to being useful. If a man therefore purge himself from these, watch. Watch the next flow. He shall be a vessel unto honor. It did not say already in honor, but unto honor. And this is where I'm going to delve for a few minutes. Sanctified, but watch. If you know grammar, and I know some of it, you see commas there. And meet, watch, meet for the master's use. That word meet means fit. That means qualified and prepared unto every good work. See, I want you to see something here. Look at the a la carte approach here and 2 Timothy 2:21, sandwiched right in the middle of that verse. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Watch. One word between two commas. Sanctify. Are you listening? And meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. That word sanctified, if we removed it, which we won't, but I could for the cause of illustration, it would throw a monkey wrench, a roadblock into the whole verse. Sanctification there is the peak on the pyramid of all that Paul is exhorting Timothy to be. Sanctification there is the highest mountain in the mountain range of all that Paul is exhorting Timothy to be. Sanctified. Set yourself apart daily and for your whole life for God, and then God will set you apart for himself. Sanctified. You say, well, I've been taught to purge myself from these. Glory to God. Well, I don't want to be a vessel of dishonor, so I know how to go about meandering through that maze to maybe come out at the end a vessel unto honor. I want to be meet or fit for the master's use, and I believe I'm on my way. Glory to God. Well, I want to be prepared unto every good work. God sees that. He recognizes the struggle, the hardship I'm having in going through even additional training, Bible college, a master's. He recognizes all of that. Listen, I'm on my way. But no, Paul says to Timothy, with preeminence, the peak on the pyramid, the highest mountain in the mountain range, sanctify. See, the peak on the pyramid commands the greatest attention. The highest mountain in the range captures the greatest focus and gaze. Sanctified. Again, after you're saved, Now, when you're saved, God sets you apart for himself forever, for all eternity. Amen? But after you're saved, how many of us, I just got done reading Director of Missions article, Dave Olson's, in the last Fairhaven Fundamentalist, if that's what it's still called, on discipleship, which was wonderful. But God, and that is wonderful. But we need to understand here what commands the most attention in our discipline to be fit or meet for the master's use and to be prepared unto every good work that God would lead us to is the doctrine of sanctification, where after being saved, we set ourselves apart for God, a full surrender, full surrender, full surrender. I'm going to say it again, full surrender, and then God sets you apart for himself. And that's what Paul's teaching Timothy here. So then we understand three quick things I want you to see in my text, okay? Maybe you say, you've given me enough things. I understand all that. But you'll go away, I think, with the word ringing in your ears, I hope. You don't want to be dull of hearing, and I'm not going to let you be. Well, that guy's a loudmouth preacher. He shouts, he stammers, he spits. He doesn't stand. He's always sliding around. But I have a burden. I have a heaviness in my spirit. I have a desire I want to see. I'm going to be 62, 40 years saved this November. 38 years in the ministry. And yet I still have a compelling burden resting on me, a heaviness, a desire, a weight that I carry for America, for our local churches, for the men and women of God that say they're called to serve the King of Kings. I have a burden for them. I'm telling you, it's not a matter of getting the right programs all put together to be successful. There's a dearth or a dearth, whatever you say. I don't want to get critiqued and fail today. Won't be the first time, probably. For the church to rise up and be something in these last days. For the remnant of the believers. They say, I'm tired. Of the disguise of Christianity that's out there. Tired of it. I'm disgusted with it. And I'm not going to follow that lot. I want you to be able to say that. I'm not going to accept the status quo. I'm not going to go along with what can get me promotion. I'm going to be God's person. So we understand that sanctification, again, let me read the verse and then I'll give you some three simple points, okay? Verse 21 of 2 Peter 2, if a man therefore purge himself from these, it's flowing, he shall be a vessel unto honor, unto, you're getting there, you're advancing, sanctified and from there meet or fit for the master's use and from there prepared unto every good work. So we understand, number one, that sanctification, get this, stay with me, is essential. Paul's telling Timothy it's essential. You setting yourself apart for God now and then God setting you apart for himself. It's essential. That means it's of the greatest priority. Not only that, it's foundational. Look, it's foundational because from that word sanctified then flows meet or fit for the master's use, and then from being fit for the master's use flows preparation, prepared unto every good work. So it not only is it essential, it's foundational. Foundational. Mean, hey, no house can stand with a faulty foundation. And then thirdly, it's crucial. Sanctification is essential. It's of the greatest priority. It's foundational. It's of the greatest necessity because it's foundational and it's crucial. It's of the greatest importance because without it, let me, for the sake of illustration, take that word sanctified just for the sake of illustration and not read it in the verse. If a man therefore purge himself from these, we see a personal, we see a pronoun, a man, he, another personal pronoun, if I got that right, shall be a vessel unto honor. And we take that word out and we could say, and he shall be fit for the master's use, and he or she will be prepared unto every good work. What does that give you the impression of? Who seems to be achieving here? Huh? Man. Flesh. And let me tell you something. I gotta move. It's despicable. The number of preachers and servants of God. No one falls into sin. They choose to go into sin. If we know the Bible right. Who have blasphemed and defamed name and character of God because they never got to the place of letting God set them apart for himself. In fact, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Watch. He's telling that to a preacher. You say, that's just emphasizing studying the Bible. No, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. If you're a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, you're going to be meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. So sanctification is essential. It's of the greatest priority. Sanctification is foundational. It's of the greatest necessity. And it's crucial. It's of the greatest importance in the life of service for God. Sanctification. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. Sanctifying is the peak on the pyramid. It's the highest mountain in the range. And then, watch what happens after sanctification. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified. I'm telling you. Hey, look, it makes me stop there. I think the Spirit of God, as we read that, makes us camp right there in between those two commas on sanctified. Makes me stop. Look what flows. And meet after. Hey, after sanctification. And meet for the master's use and prepare it unto every good work. Before I surrendered to the ministry, I was an aspiring baseball coach, and I was coaching. I was under the tutelage of a very successful high school baseball coach. I was his assistant coach, and I worked with him for several years. The head coach coaches third base in high school level and college level most of the time. Coaches third base where the head coach orchestrates the strategy of the game when the team is batting and running. Well, I was the first base coach for years. The head coach came to me and he said, Brother Zingri, he didn't call me Brother Zingri, but that's what I am now to you. He said, Brother Zingri, well, I've observed you. I can see that's your aspiration to be a successful high school basketball coach. The next several games, I want you to move from first base coaching, where I just help direct the runners and I'm complimentary to the head coach who operates from third base. And I want you to coach third base. And he was going to go to first base. He wanted to help set me apart more for being a head baseball coach. You know what I did? I rejected his advances because of pride. Not egotistical pride, but I sensed I might disappoint him and lose a game. I sensed that I might fail. And I never did it in the 5 years that I worked with him. And then when I became a head coach and got to coach third base, I was thrust into that, per se, sanctification. And oh, the joy of obedience. The joy of service, the joy of dedication, of being there. I learned what he was trying to afford me. And God wants to do that with you. Phil Emery, the former general manager of the Chicago Bears, who's no longer there, in his last year was questioned by the media about his imperfections being the general manager of the Chicago Bears. And he made this quote. I read it in the Chicago Tribune. I'm not belittling him. He said, well, we're all on the road of imperfection working toward the middle. He said that to the Chicago Press and the National Press. And we adopt that philosophy an awful lot ourselves. We're all on the road of imperfection, God working towards the middle. He told Timothy, sanctified. Thomas Carlyle had imprinted upon his letters the seal of a wasting candle with the motto, and I don't know Latin, but I think it's Latin, Terrar dum prosum. Here's what it means. On his letters, the seal, the picture of a wasting candle. Here's what it means. May I be wasted so that I am of use. That's the doctrine of sanctification. I say this to you, from me, Brother Zingri. Do something for God. And give up on yourself. Let's stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you. We thank you. As we begin the invitation, God, your Holy Spirit is the one that works in hearts. I don't. So please draw, bring people, young people, staff, to the place of wanting God to set themselves apart for himself. Please, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You can come right now as we start the invitation. You do what God wants you to do, please. Don't resist the Holy Spirit of God.